I had to use Windows because of Windows is more compatible with like gaming stuff, graphics. Yeah, and I do a lot of stuff with graphics right now. So whatever.
But don't try. I'm gonna come back to you guys, Samsung.
What games are you playing?
No. So it's not for games. It's for 3D. 3D animation.
Doing, like, are you using Blender or are you using...
No, so my girl used Maya. She uses Maya and ZBrush and Houdini and some more stuff. I'm using Moho. Okay. Now, that's not 3D. That's like 2D base. But Windows is still better for that anyway. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, I used to dabble with 3D stuff for a little
Blender? Bit.
Blender.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Maya. I keep saying I'm going to go back to it, but I'm just waiting for like technology to get up to where I can just type in the code and then
it's already there.
And I ain't got to do
it. It's already there. If you go on a Sora, you can make your own feature film.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't even want to get into that, dude. It like bothers me.
Why?
Because I feel like we're the age of like creating, you know, with our hands is leaving us. Mm. And it's like, I'm going to put in a prompt and I'm going to have a full Marvel movie the way that I want it to be. And I'm like, oh, like this takes away from like the creation of it. I don't know, man. I have rich clients and they all are excited about AI and I'm not.
Well, what about you, T? How you feel about it?
First of all, I'm not even in that type of field that y'all discussing. So I'm like, I wish I would have stayed in the art realm or something. Mm-hmm. But
instead of doing jujitsu?
Man, maybe I wouldn't got too many gold medals or championships.
I tell you what. Do you think if you were ant's age doing this? I think I asked you this. Do you think you'd be world champ? Like black belt world champ?
I'd probably be a lot of world champions. I think I would have a lot more championships under my belt.
Yeah.
If I started with at Ant's age.
So Jay sent me his videos.
Yeah.
And Ant was toying with them. He wasn't even having a hard time. And I was like, this kid is like, if he stays with it, like, when I look at Ant, I'm like, this is going to sound bad. I'm like, don't waste your life on jujitsu, man. Like, you got so much more going on with yourself, you know what I mean? But he was killing it. And one thing that I like about him, and I always told him, I was like, you know how to conduct yourself around men. And I like that. I like for a kid to know how to conduct himself around men. He had a match where he put the kid was, you saw it?
No, I just know he picked him up, huh? He picked him up. Is that what you?
No, like? No. It was the opposite.
He picked them up after.
It was the opposite.
He hit me?
No. Ant's a thug like you, dude. He's like he's a gangster. So like after he beats somebody, it's like it's blank. It doesn't matter to them. But a kid.
Thank you, Ant.
Ant was fighting this kid, and this kid you can tell was he didn't have the training of like the character training, right?
Yeah,
so you know who I'm talking about.
Match.
Exactly.
Yeah, the wrestler looking.
Yes,
yeah,
yes. Yeah, yeah. And like Ant kind of threw him a little bit. And a kid was like, you can see him like he got like an attitude. I'm like, yo, you gotta keep your head in the game. So Ant was like trying to pull guard and the kid kept walking around like I'm not gonna come down there with you. So Ant stood up. I'm like, all right, I'll stand up with you. And it still took his back, right?
Yeah.
Took his back, put him in a triangle. You know, tapped him. The kid like threw his legs, like something that was it was not very good. Now
sportsmanship.
It's horrible. Like you don't like, especially with you. You're a coach. You don't want to see that type of stuff. So all Clamp Ant did was like kind of clap or whatever. Yeah. But still, the way that he conducted himself afterwards was the way that how you're supposed to do it, like an adult. You know what I mean? So he showed a lot of character right there. And that made me like look at him like see, I know I saw something in him.
Yeah.
You know?
I can agree with that. Like first time, usually when you meet kids that are like 15, 16, it's like you're a child. Like they always have this youthful, playful innocence, right? Like, they play too much, but they're just really young, right? Especially like you're saying like with adults. But like I feel like with Ant, He plays, but he plays the perfect amount. Like, yeah. He's like, it's like.
He fits right in.
Like, honestly, I'd be like, man, he's a grown ass man if I didn't know. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I just, that's the vibe I get off of him, just talking to him and interacting with him. Is that I don't feel like I'm talking to a kid that's in high school.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I like him. I
forgot he was in high school sometimes.
I know. Right. I forget.
Yeah, but he's, even with how you say he goes against people, like, do you roll with him easy?
Me?
Or do you make it challenging for him? Or do you actually, you kind of go play with him? You give
no,
your
A game? No,
you practice some of your stuff with him?
No, like, I play with him. I honestly want to see what he does. I want to see where he's at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm rolling with Ant, I'm not going for a submission. I'm going to see, like, I want to kind of go into his world and see what he does. He's good. He's good. The only, I mean, for where he is, like, once his body fills out and he becomes like a man, mm-hmm. he's going to be a problem, dude. He's long. You can tell he got some strength to him. He's young. He's going to be a problem.
I go after him. Not like super after him, like, but I go after him enough to be like, okay.
I'm going to push everybody, you. Man.
So we just see it. Like, and Anthony's a fun role. So even with learning the leg lock stuff right now, I still go after him with leg locks. And he has a good defense there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, you got pretty, you know, I'm not good, but you got good defense, you know, everything. So you're paying attention to coach at least.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So,
yes.
You know, there's just some of those individuals you have to go after just to make it, you know, challenging.
Yeah.
Push them to see what they have and see how much he can push you. Because at the end of the day, just as much as he needs you, you're going to need him.
Yeah.
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 So.
He's going to be the future here. So. Yeah. Him. I mean, of course, UT, but him and Elijah. Mm-hmm. No one knows her right now, but I think Evelyn has that.
Yeah, yeah.
Gabby.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to like leave anybody. Vu, I don't want to leave anybody out because there's a lot of people, a lot of young people here that are like really showing themselves. And I'm sorry if I left you out, but those are the ones I can name off ahead. Forge has a bright future right now. We have some killers, and like not just killers, but like good people. Like they show really good character,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And freaking Justice is coming back, and
oh, he is.
Yeah, he's coming back, and if Lord willing, I feel like I rubbed off too much. If Lord willing, he's he gets some really good character and he listens to coach. He showed a lot of promise, but if he comes back with a really good attitude, he's gonna be like the next up too.
Yeah,
I think if he comes back more
humble,
not humble. Well, he should recognize like
he remind me of me too much.
Like some of himself, like he should. I can't even think of what he needs to recognize, but it's like he needs to open up to like really listening to coach and following like his instructions and guidance in the jiu-jitsu realm of what he's teaching and really like, okay, and kind of start early thinking as a white belt, like why am I doing this? Why am I, okay, why is this move? Start questioning some of the moves. So that's why I question every move to mm-hmm. get an understanding, like, okay, let me, okay. So I think if he starts doing that, he'll kind of grasp more of those moves, those submissions that we've been teaching him and things like that.
Yeah.
So I have a question. This is more, I do want to get into the tournament stuff, but this is more like a coaching. I know you've done some coaching, obviously you're coaching. What do you think is probably one of the things, and this is going to change as time goes on, but right now, what do you think when you see like new white belts come in, what do you think is like one of their follies that they fall into? Like the like things they shouldn't be doing or mindsets they, you know, get into. Like one that stands out to me is like fighting for dear life just to hold someone to your chest. You know what I mean? Like you're in bottom close guard and all you're doing is just holding them to your chest. And you do that in almost every position, right? Like you're just so afraid to open up that your only goal is to just hold them there. And I feel like that's one of the things I see like white belts do.
I only say I see them do that so much because if they're doing it, because they don't understand it, they don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's even like when I did it in the beginning, I was holding on just like, okay, what the fuck do I do? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I got to this point. I don't know anything else. So I think that's what they're going to continuously do that for a while until they start learning.
Yeah.
My thing with them is, I would say, it's one like Coach always says, stay off Instagram, stay off YouTube, mm-hmm. watching those videos from some people that are not so good at instructing.
Yeah.
So I would say, just like Coach, stop following some of those videos that do dumb moves. It's like, or stop trying to get like those fancy moves just to get Instagram famous, YouTube famous, because you're not learning nothing really. Yeah. So, and that's what I would say, because I think that's what's going to be happening a lot. And that's what I think a lot of the white belts are doing, mm-hmm. watching okay. these videos, and some of it's just trash.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, I don't know, yeah. That's how I believe. That's what I think.
I think it's this thing of needing to win. Mm-hmm. Like, because I get it. Like, you're doing something, and you kind of want to prove yourself. Because I was at white belt. Like, I was always constantly trying to prove myself. I was trying to tap blue belts and purple belts. Is you know, like, if I needed that strike. You know what I mean? Like I needed that, like, that notch under my belt. Like, oh, I caught a blue belt. I caught a purple belt. Like, I'm on their level.
Yeah.
And it's not about that. You know what I mean? I think the wanting to win over the wanting to learn, okay. you know, yeah. that's like, it took me, I was still a white belt, thank God, when, so mine was like, dude, I got bullied into like playing defense. And then my professor was like, look, he says, once you learn defense, everything else is going to open up to you. So I just opened up to it, because everybody's like, oh, you're so big, you're so strong, you're using too much strength, you're using all your weight. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take everything. I'm going to let everybody just dominate me. Mm-hmm. And like, I got so good off my back, so comfortable, let me say it, so comfortable off my back, that I was never scared to like be put in a bad position.
Yeah.
Like even now, I kind of prefer it. I kind of prefer to be in like in a bad position to kind of play from there,
yeah.
you know. But white belts, sometimes they get in this place where they're like, they don't want to be in a bad position. They want to win. And it's like, man, like, it's okay to lose in here,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things I see the most,
okay.
you know?
I like those answers, because I feel like they align with my theory of like, get tapped out more. Mm-hmm. So white people. I may cut that, I may not.
You know what? I never thought about that. We may need to cut this out, but there's the white belt is at the beginning, and then when you master it, you're a black belt. Oh, wow. Okay. If you ever thought about that, I mean,
yeah.
But go ahead.
So. I think that's for you, Evan. That's for you, Evan.
Yeah, that's all for Evan. Steve-O, who's our honorary member, right?
Yeah, honorary.
Y'all made him an honorary black guy,
hey.
Too.
Hey, I didn't.
T did.
Hey.
Look, I just didn't want to fight T. Like, I didn't want to fight T.
Steve-O. Steve-O.
Like,
hey, Steve-O. He's earned a little bit. Let him get honorary.
Ah, man. I don't know.
He fights a lot more for us, okay, than against us.
He's got to grow some hair first for me.
Hey, don't. We all gonna LL Cool J one day. So hey, thank you, Steve-O, for showing the way.
I'm holding on to mine for dear life.
I don't think I will. I think I'll be good.
Okay, just wait.
I just say this just because, like, I got like a Hispanic blood in me. And have you ever really seen like an old Hispanic man?
Never.
Like
never. Yeah. But they go ball too, you know.
No, they do.
They
but
do.
But
it's very
like,
few, far in between.
Far few in between. I think that's like.
I'm gonna hold on for dear life too, but I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Like I said, we all gonna LL Cool J one day.
White belts, not white people. no, I always tell white belts like get tapped out more. Kind of like what you're saying is like getting those positions that you're gonna be afraid of. Getting those positions mm-hmm. and understand like, oh, okay, my arm is fully extended there. Like I can fight up at this point, but when I get here, I have to tap. And
yeah.
know your body limitations and put yourself into that fire a lot. So
yes, you have an infinite amount of lives, especially like as a white belt, like that's what's supposed to happen. You know, yeah. like there's no pressure, you know, mm-hmm. and to win. You're supposed to lose, you know?
I agree.
I didn't want to get tapped out that much as a white belt.
No one wants to get tapped out.
I didn't want to. I couldn't do it. Like, nope, you have to earn this.
Like that right now.
I'm still going my defense, but hey, those times when I have to learn, my thing with a coach was just don't do that position no more or don't do that move. And that's the only way I would get tapped. And then I realized, coach, like, stop doing that. Oh, okay. All right. I'll stop doing that so I won't get tapped out.
I have a thing about that, but I want to wait until we start talking about the tournament.
We can jump a tournament right now. Like, that's really fine.
So I want to ask you, both of you guys. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm coming from a perspective of I don't want to be like a blue belt because that's just stupid to me. Like someone who's been doing it for a few years, right?
Yeah.
I'm coming from with the perspective from doing this for a few years. When I see people like do something that's a bit unorthodox, right? Mm-hmm. Like it looks crazy. And then your coach may say like, hey, don't do that again. Like what are you doing, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes a person is discovering something. Like they're, you see what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
And sometimes it may not be right, but they may be on the road to something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Vu has this move. I forget the name of it. It's an actual thing.
The donkey guard?
The donkey guard?
Oh, yeah. She does in the donkey move.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was doing it in the tournament, and I felt like it wasn't serving her yet, right?
Mm.
And I'm not sure what advice she's been given, like as far as like if she needs to keep doing it or not doing it. But I told her personally, I was like, look, don't let anyone get in your head. Keep doing it. I'm like, you're discovering something. Mm-hmm. And like, when you feel like it doesn't serve you anymore, then don't do it. But I feel like there may be something there because there are so many people who have like these weird, unorthodox games that not everyone can play. Mm-hmm. And when you discover yours and something is like working for you, like I feel like you're going... You're discovering a different path because not everyone's path is the same. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Now, do you feel that she's discovering and doing it or now that it's, or right now it's almost a memory for her and it's just something she does naturally?
I think it's a little bit of both. Look, I'm not saying what she's doing is correct. And
no,
like,
no, I'm not saying it's not bad, you know.
You're talking about from, like, this is like a bad habit that just keeps on going?
Or is it just something that she's doing based off muscle memory? And it's just do that because she's comfortable in doing it?
Hmm.
Or is it something, like you say, she does it, but she has to mold it into her game to where it fits and it's designed to, like, bring her into a position where she can get submissions and things out of it?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both. But I think in order for it to grow into something, it has to be nourished.
Yeah.
You know? But if she's told, stop doing this, don't do this anymore, you know, then that may take away from what could have been.
Okay.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I get what you're saying.
Like, again, I'm not saying that everything that she's doing is right. But maybe there's something there. Maybe she can play around with it. She's a new blue belt.
Yeah.
Like, let her play. Let her, like mess up, you know? And when she's like, ah, this is dumb. Like, you were so right, coach. I'm never doing this again. Or maybe she start giving people problems. And I'm like, what the heck is she doing? I can't figure this out. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Was she successful in the tournament with that? I didn't get a chance to see her comp.
From my perspective of watching it...
It's a first tournament as a blue belt.
I think it's not her first tournament as a blue belt. She's been a blue belt for a while.
Yeah, she got promoted.
At Jujutsu Kong. At Jujutsu Kong.
Yeah.
But I
thought they'd done a tournament before. I thought she's done, but this might be her first as a blue belt. I thought she did one before.
Maybe so. I thought it was the first.
But I would say from watching it, I don't think it's, like Casey says, it's fully developed for her. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, I think she needs to practice more. If she really wants to use it, practice more here mm-hmm. and develop some, like you said, some ways to get to attacks, submissions, and things like that mm-hmm. in it. I think it's just a hindrance right now to her, and it slows her game down from the Vu I remember as a white belt.
Yeah.
Because okay. that like, Vu as a white belt was on attack. Like,
for sure, I like the fact that she did it in a tournament mm-hmm. probably like wasn't the best idea, but I still give her props from actually going for it. Because who cares? Like, it's a tournament. Who cares? Like, you're supposed to play.
And that's what I was going to ask. Like, do you think, like for example, my competition wasn't my greatest showing, right? But in that, there were things that...
You only say that because you didn't get the gold. No, your competition, yeah. you had a great showing. Trust me. You had a great showing.
Given your circumstances, I'm with T.
Yeah. I mean, like, I give myself credence for everything, and I don't really want to get on shit. You guys know what it is. Just like, for example, I do this. I'm trying to perfect this standing cross collar choke. While I'm standing, I want to submit you. Like, that's my goal, right? My last tournament, all I did was try to do the standing cross collar choke, but I came over the top and tried to finish it that way, right? Mm-hmm. This tournament, I kept trying to go under and finish it that way. I couldn't do it. I felt like it was less successful than even going over the top. I felt like I couldn't get control, like going under, like I can when I go over the top, right?
Go ahead. Well, I remember also the day you asked Coach that question, he told you to go under. So
Based
off that, you haven't practiced that method, that style yet. So you just introduced, okay, go this way. So that's also another thing that you got to look at with doing that.
But that's kind of what I'm getting at, right? Is like saying, like, I was experimenting off something I just was told a week ago. You know what I mean? And maybe I shouldn't have been doing that in competition. But also, for me, competition is like, if I can do it in a competition, then now I know I can do it for real. Mm-hmm. If I can do it when someone's trying to defend with all their strength, all their might, whatever, and I can do it over and over again, then I'm like, okay, that's locked in. Mm-hmm. Like, training room, yeah, I can get submissions multiple times, whatever the case is. That's fine. But I don't count those as like, I can do this. I know this until I can hit in competition.
Yeah.
That does make a valid point because you feel more like it feels more successful. Or you get more, you feel like you appreciate it once you do it in a tournament.
When it is matched up with someone your age, your size, and is being aggressive. Mm-hmm. That's the best real world. Like, and your same skill level, right? Because not all the time you're gonna, you know, like we do. I'm never promoting the, if this happens outside of here. Like, I don't want to be fighting in the street. It's the last thing I want to do. But it gives you like if you fight somebody who has no experience with jiu-jitsu, it's gonna be a slam dunk. You know, that's gonna be a slam dunk right there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Sometimes my little brother, he'll come up behind me and grab me, and I'm just like, I gotta stop myself because I just know I'm about to like reverse it on him or slam over something just because that's the instinct of
you
like,
should do it. That's just being a big brother.
I was like a bully big brother growing up. So like I'm trying to make up for that now. And I don't want to say like bully, but like I felt like it was my job to make my little brother tough for the world. And because him and my mom and my dad split when I was five. So I felt like it was my tough to be like, hey, you got to be tough. Hey, no crying, no weakness, all that kind of stuff. And then I realized that wasn't what he needed. Mm-hmm. And he needed someone to like kind of walk with him and nurture him a little bit. But now I'm trying to make up for that now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what?
No. I was thinking back to my brothers beating on me. So that was it.
Well, you know, I kind of, my influences were my foster brothers. I was in foster care for about 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And I had older foster brothers who were like, I was like in elementary, they were like middle school, high school. And that's how they treated me.
Yeah.
So that's all. I was like, well, I don't really like it, but I'm a little bit more tougher. That's why I'm willing to jump in the fire with shit. Because I was like, well, I got beat up all the time. I don't care if I get beat up. Like, I just care if I back down like a coward. You know what I mean? I can't be a coward. I can get beat up, but I can't be a coward.
Yeah.
You
know?
My foster brothers were the same.
You know, it's funny. I never realized that all three of us had experience in some way or form with foster care.
I didn't just realize that now. Yeah.
Yeah,
they...
That was something else.
You know, it's the story. It's the story of our people sometimes. And
that's why I learned to be...
Yeah, because that'll toughen you up real quick.
They for sure did. I remember. Man. And they were high school. I was elementary. Just like you said.
Yeah.
Stuff I went through. Oh, man.
You know, it's funny. One of my brothers, when you're growing, you get these little phases where you just start putting on weight. You're fat. Don't get me wrong. I got my fat issues. Don't get me wrong. But he would make me jog around the fucking neighborhood and be like, lose weight, feel great. He would make me chant that as we're running around the neighborhood.
You know, this is completely off the subject. Something like that. Me and my best friend, uh-huh. we would get like a little boom box. We still had a boom box back in the day. And we got that Rocky song that dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
We will find random people running at the park and just follow them playing this song. I don't know why, but when you said it, it made me think about that right there.
That would have been a part of today's, you might have went viral for doing something
that. Of course. That's what that would have been.
Uh-oh.
So let's talk about your comp real quick.
All right.
So you got gold, mm-hmm. but what I want to talk about more so is like, how did it feel being pulled out of no-gi by your coach? Like, how did that make you feel? How do you handle that as an athlete? Do you think it was the right decision? Like, what does it feel like having to go, I'll be there in tournament, already compete, win gold, and go, I can't do the next one?
Yeah, so, all right. So, and we're talking about Rico. Both coaches, like, Coach Alex is my coach, and Coach Rico is my coach. So, Coach Rico's I'm with Coach Rico more than I am with Al, but I just want to say Coach Al is my coach as well. Yeah. So, Rico was with me for my Naga tournament that I did. And in that tournament, I can't remember how many people I fought, but it was like 12, 13, 14 people. And I was exhausted. And he had this moment where he's like, should I pull him? Like, no, he's a grown man, like blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And he always said like, I should have pulled you out, right? And in this one, he knows what I'm dealing with. He knows everything. Like, we're kind of dealing with the same thing.
Yeah.
And he saw something, and he's like, I'm not going to let that happen again, you know? But before then, like, I would have been more inclined. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do it anyway, and we'll just argue about it.
Yeah.
But before then... I told him this. I said, this was the first tournament where I felt like you became my coach. Mm, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Where he knew exactly what to say to me. Most of the time, Rico is Rico. You know, he says Rico stuff. Yeah. And you're like, all right, man.
Either
sticks or dead. Yeah, I mean, look, I still always respect him and say, yes, sir. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got you, right? This was the first time where he said exactly what I needed to hear. And he got me through. He doesn't take credit for it, but I got to give him credit. He got me through this tournament, period. Like, because I was a complete wreck. Like, I was a mess.
Yeah.
I was a mess. Even T was like, you need to step out of it. What's wrong with your problem? I was like, let me get off the phone with T.
Because Rico freaking, a text message.
He's freaking
maybe
like.
Maybe you should slap him too.
No, here's the thing. But hold on. But Rico knows, like, we're all different. Like, yeah. We all have the different things. Like, I need someone to like say, you're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. Right. Mm-hmm. T needs a, you know, pow, wake up. And then T's like, I'm going to kill somebody. You know, I'm not sure. Hold on. What's yours? You just need to be you like to be left alone.
I think so. I'm just so used to being alone in general that I feel more comfort, like just being alone in those moments, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would have to say.
As the moments of preparing or like, okay, we're about to start.
All of the above, man. Like, I just feel like until I don't want to speak for Misfits because I didn't like compete there. Mm-hmm. But until I came to Forge, I felt like all my tournaments were on my own, right? Like, I had one tournament where my coach, like, I'm standing there. He's like, yeah, I'll be there. I'm waiting for him to show up. He shows up, like, right when they call me on the mat. And so, like, I was already preparing to go into that battle myself. You know what I mean?
Hold on. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You just like being alone. Like I feel like there are times where you don't want anyone with you.
I don't know how to be around people. I don't know who I am sometimes, if that makes sense, because I lived a lot of my life trying to play a character, if that makes sense.
I know. I understand. Yes,
like,
of course.
And when I finally like made this decision to be like, hey, I'm a grown man. I don't have to like play that character to get attention, to get friends or whatever. Like, I could just be me. I don't know how to interact, especially in like group situations. I don't know when to jump in. Like, I feel like I always cut people off. I feel like my stories aren't as good as everyone else's. So a lot of times I just shut up and be quiet. I just don't know how to fit in with people now that I have changed my perspective on who I am, if that makes sense.
Understood.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I get that.
So it's not that I like being alone. It's just easier to be alone than it is to like try and like socialize.
Do you feel like people won't accept you?
Yeah, I definitely feel like that, but I feel like that's just my own insecurity. So, you know what I mean? So I have to work through that within myself.
I get that.
Yeah. But I do feel like that. What are you going to say?
I would have said maybe something within the foster care system. Cause like I said, I like you being alone. I like to be alone a lot too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something we've got inside of there because within that foster care system, I was always alone. So, like, even when, like, group settings, like, family settings, like, even Thanksgiving, everybody be out. I go right to my room, eat, play my game by myself. So I kind of understand, like, being alone and things like that because you feel comfortable with it. Like, you don't have to worry about nothing. You're not stressing about anything. It's just, it's easy.
Yeah. Mm.
Being alone and just doing certain things, prepping yourself for whatever you're doing or getting ready, you know, however you want to do.
But you don't have social anxiety. Neither one of you have social anxiety.
I do.
Oh, you do?
Like, I'm always calculating, like, what did I just say? Did I just say land wrong? Did I rub the person the wrong way? What was that blink in their eye? Like, I'm always calculating that, and I have to, like, just shut up and be present, Jay.
Okay.
My thing would probably be, because sometimes I, like, my mind is thinking, but sometimes I'll say something different and then I'll go back and think like, damn, did I just do that? Or I get like, damn, did I just say that? I wasn't supposed to say that. Shit, that didn't come out right. Fuck.
Yeah.
So that's usually how I get at the end. But, you know, going to interact with people, I have no problem with that. I find the right time. Like, I won't interact with you unless it's something I see like, I know I can engage with.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, I'll go. All right, I feel more comfortable. Then it's, okay, there's my time to get in.
Yeah.
But it's just, Nah, I'm not jumping in right away. Nope. I'll sit back and watch, see who's who, and then like, okay, all right. Then it's my time. I'll go to that person. Maybe I'll have more in common with that person, you know? I'll watch them first just to see, like,
gauge it.
Who I have a better connection with or, you know, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, I would say for me is, like, kind of like what you're saying is, like, gauging when to jump in and, like, how to jump in. I think, like, growing up, a lot of my friend relationships, they were competitive and I didn't realize they were competitive. Like, I thought we were just playing along, right? That's why sometimes, like, when I say jokes to you, I'm like, I'm sorry, like, we good? Like, I just want to make sure I didn't take it too far. Because I had that scar of, like, oh, this was competitive. I didn't realize it. And now that I've changed who I am now, I understand that competitive more. And I think jiu-jitsu helps with that because you realize, oh, you're being competitive right now. Why are you being competitive?
Like, yeah.
We're just trying to flow roll. Okay, you need this for whatever reason. So I feel like for conflict resolution, it's easier for me to just fall back. Instead of even trying to be in that competitive mode in conversation for attention to tell stories, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Hold on. Because I don't want this to escape us because there's something that happened at the tournament.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about it. And so I wanted to, like, because it didn't start with you. it started with T.
Okay.
And it's, and, but it trickled back down to me. I, hold on. I'll say how mine went. My first match with my first match. I was with a guy. I dislocated his shoulder, and he didn't tap. And then we were rolling around, and we got to the other side, and I was about to dislocate the other one, and he tapped before he could. But I didn't know. Enrico had to show us. In my second match, I just, no disrespect to the guy, I went through him, yeah. You know what I mean? So that was it. And then I think I threw up my back, and my shin was like on fire, and Enrico pulled me, which was the best move, yeah. You know, which is the best move. But that's how mine went. I want to hear how y'all's went, because there's something that happened.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you go,
T. Go ahead, T. Go ahead.
I'm trying to find this thing for Rico.
Because it's
hard. For Casey. You mean, where is it?
It's hard to admit it. You know what I mean? And it kind of plays in. I'll say it.
All right. So you talk about the pressure thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I would say, because we kind of talked about this a little bit offline, there was definitely pressure when it came to like trying your to win match. Wait, what happened?
Your second match. That's how I was trying to send.
Oh,
what is it? What
so my second match was this guy that T went against. He beat him 5-0. Just to let you know, I beat him 19-0.
I submitted him.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Competition. Should I jump in right now and say,
sorry.
Hey, sorry. I tried to submit somebody. Yeah, no,
I didn't take long.
I didn't take long either. The tape will be out.
Okay, we'll see.
How did yours go, King T?
I guess
did you get all submissions?
He got 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
Yeah, 4 out of 5.
Jeez.
So the first guy, well, I guess they pulled me into their guard, or they pulled guard. I think with the same thing with the second guy too. So basically, we ended up in half guard, and they're basically going for a lockdown. And thing is, I'm happy being there with being in lockdown. Like, I'm happy in the half guard position. Like, this is where I want to be anyway. So, sat there, was able to isolate the arm, and Kimura.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, you put me where I wanted to be. And you know, I was, even though my whole thing, I was like, okay, I'm looking for legs today. I'm going to try some leg lock stuff. So I was like, I mean, I don't want to do the arms, but you got to take what's given to you. So, and then the same guy did the second guy did the same thing, same position.
Lockdown.
I'm like, did you learn from the last guy? Did you even watch my match, or did your coach even tell you, like, you shouldn't have done this? So I was expecting something different, but because this guy was a little bit
he was speed. Super spazzy.
Yeah, so I was like, I was expecting, you know, not that same position to end up. Same thing. Put me in the lockdown. Okay, you're isolating your arm. So, okay, thank you. Come over again. He probably had a better grip on it, and that's where Casey's like, go for the hand. I was like, all right.
I get half that win.
Because, like, right when we were in that position, I kind of gave a face and I was looking up like, you just gave me my win.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be here. I'm not going to change nothing right now. Third guy, that was a little bit more, he gave a little bit more of a challenge. I don't remember so much of the match, what was going on. I know I remembered we were still 0-0, and then all of a sudden, I know I tried for a leg lock. Mm-hmm. I tried, and then he ended up sweeping me, and that's when I know it was 2-0. I forgot what happened in between that when I saw the ref counting, and then we stood up, and then I look, it's 4-0. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 4-0. Oh, man. Okay. And so we're back to standing up. I think he goes back to pulling. I don't know. I don't remember this part either. I think he went back to pulling guard again. But this time I was able to grab a straight foot lock standing up. So I'm sitting there holding it like, okay. And in my head I'm thinking I'm going to drop. do the leg lock positions, and I got you. But then coach was like, you could do it standing up. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. So then that's when I'm like, oh, I'm going to rip this. Well, not rip it, but I'm like, I got you here. So you're either going to let me break it or you're just going to feel all this pain.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to hike and go back. And he didn't do nothing. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm not strong enough to do this. So he doesn't feel this. Damn. So then we roll over. So it ends up to a belly down straight foot lock.
Okay.
Nice. So, and it was immediate.
Yeah. So so that's what I was like. That was my first foot lock submission. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that kind of like hyped me up after that. I was like, yes, thank you. And I gave that. That's why gave Rico his first footlock submission. I was like, right when I got him, I was like, for you, Rico. You asked for it. Got you one.
Yeah.
Hold on. So I'm interested in yours.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see you the entire time. I saw you once when you filmed me, and that's it. Yeah. I didn't see you before, and then I barely saw you like after. So I got to catch like, I think, two of your matches.
Yeah. So we were, I think you were talking about the whole pressure thing. I would say, first off, there was a lot of pressure on me just because I wanted all three of us to have gold medals. Like, I just, like I had this idea and this vision of, like, I don't have any JJ World League pictures, like, outside of, the screen, you know, like, anything like that. And I just wanted us three up there. I was like, yeah, I just wanted that. So there was pressure on me to, like, win all three because of that. But no excuses. At the end of the day, I lost. But I was dealing with a lot going into the tournament. I made it through my first two matches, barely, like, eked by. Actually, all my matches were close on points when I think about it. But eked by on points, barely. I'm disappointed in my performance just because I don't feel like I did jiu-jitsu. I just was, like, surviving, if that makes sense. I don't want to say surviving because surviving is not the right word, but I wasn't willing to fully do jiu-jitsu. Like I would have rather stand and not get taken down than go to the ground. And I know part of the reason for that is because the last thing I want to do is be in an inferior position with no energy, depleted and gassed. And by my third match, for sure, I was depleted and gassed, but I was gassed in my warm-up. I have this, little warm-up that I do where it's like 30 seconds of like sprawling drills, right? And then I get like a 15-second rest, but I do that for 5 to 10 rounds. That's my warm-up. So when I come in sweating and everything, that's what I've already done. I've just been sprawling, you know, for 10 rounds pretty much. I couldn't get past my fourth fucking round where I was just like, oh, I'm done. I'm tired. Like, what is this? I don't know what this is. I need to save everything I have for this tournament. So I kind of cut my warm-up short to go do the tournament. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got in the first match, I was like, it felt like, the best way I can say is it felt like I was moving through mud. Like the first match, I can kind of hear coach a little bit. I think I looked at the clock a little once. By the second match, I was just like, just trying not to like get submitted. You know what I mean? Try not to get takedown, try not to make a mistake. And the third match, kind of the same thing. And honestly, I didn't have energy, you know?
You know, it's funny. It's like, looking from the outside of it, it looked like you just handled yourself very well. Like, I didn't, you thought the same thing. It's like, even if no one knows where everyone is, you know, by this, but I can guarantee you they didn't have to deal with what you had to deal with, right?
Yeah.
And to see how you handled yourself, it didn't seem like it was like you were struggling. It was like, okay, I know how to win this match. Mm-hmm. Like, I know how to, like, disarm this person, keep him down long enough for me to win.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I saw. I saw someone who knew how to do jiu-jitsu in a way when they're, like, weakened, in a weakened state.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw. It looked good to me.
Well, I just feel like, especially in my last match, I should have pulled guard. But in a rule of thumb, I just feel like pulling guard is a bitch move. Like, I just like.
Okay.
And I mean no disrespect. I'm just saying, like,
I pull guard every single time. Like, if you go against me in a tournament or in class, I'm pulling guard.
And I understand that, and there has to be a switch in my mind to do that. But when I'm so like, oh, I can't make a mistake, my life is on the line almost, like that's kind of where the zone I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm not pulling guard in the street. So my mind is kind of like on that like worst case scenario mode, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So it's like pulling guard was like, nah, I was like, I should try to pull guard. I tried to set it up in my last match, like put my foot up to like throw him off.
Seen that.
But then when I went to go grab his collar, I punched him in the And I was like, and it threw my momentum off because I wasn't trying to punch the guy. And he was like, whoa. I was like, I'm sorry. But like, again, that little small interaction could have cost me the match, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Going
and maybe, but I felt bad because I punched someone in the face. You know what I mean? That's a me thing.
Yeah.
And so when I say that I beat myself into losing that gold medal, then yeah, I definitely beat myself. And I think that's kind of what everyone talks about when they say it's not really you versus your opponent out there. It's you versus you. It's you versus your worst mistake. And I think, you know, my mistakes just piled up.
So
I don't feel you had that many mistakes. Like I said, the first two matches that I did see, I felt like, damn, that's Jason right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've been in those positions too. I'm like, shit, you took good control.
Yes.
You did basically everything. I was like, all right, that's right, Jason. That's Jay right there. Okay, good. We're good. Now, I did tell Kate when you did your last match, I was like, that's what took Jason's energy right there.
That, we both saw it.
I was like, there, that's what we took his energy. And I was like, that's what I know he was banking on getting. But then you still recovered from it, mm-hmm. which was still good. So I was like, oh, we're good. Then it must have taken all the energy. So you recovered good. And then I forgot what happened after that. And the guy regained his position again. That's why I was like, oh, what happened? That was...
So what it was is like, just so everyone knows, the match ended up 4-2. So I ended up losing by 2 points. I ended up losing by a takedown at the end. So it wasn't even like I got blown out or anything.
Yeah.
Just I was exhausted, and he went to do a sacrifice throw, and like I didn't react fast enough. Like usually I react like that. I kind of bank on people doing that to react off of it. Like I know it sounds like I shouldn't be doing that, but I guess ego. I trust my timing and my instinct.
You know what I mean?
To be able to do that. But being that exhausted, my instinct and my timing was not, it wasn't there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he saw it. I feel bad. All right. So I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah.
All right. You guys know, and Jason, I know you know, I want us all to have gold. I want us all to have gold, right? But I hate going last. And there's a part of me, look, no, that, hold on. It may be like 2% of me. There's like 2%. I don't want y'all to take this like bad, right? But there's 2% of me. Sometimes I'm like, if he loses, that take a little bit of pressure off me. And here's the thing. And hold on. And this is me being just being 100. Like when you guys go before me and you win, you have no idea how much pressure. I'm like, oh, God. So T is in his final match, and he's 4-0. 98% of me wants him to win. But there's a 2% that's like, oh, man, if he loses, that'll take a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? Like, I won't feel that bad about getting bronze and silver now. Yeah. And he wins, and I'm happy. I'm happy. And I was screaming. If you recorded it, you would hear me screaming, you know, loud, yeah. Right? I have to go upstairs with T, wearing his gold medal, all happy, relaxed, because he just won. Now the pressure's on me. And then I'm like, crap, man. I'm like, I gotta go. Like, I gotta win now. I gotta freaking win. And like the first match is like there's a moment where I'm like panicking. I'm like, I don't wanna lose. I'm like kind of praying, like, please don't make me lose out of this. I'm gonna kill him, you know? And then thankfully, I won my first match, which made my second match a little bit easier, right? Now the pressure's off me. This would hurt me the most. As I'm coming off the mat and I'm waiting on my last match, the bronze medal match to end, Jason's coming in. And the way that he looked at me, he says, hey, how did you do? He says, is it over? I said, yeah. He says, how'd you do? I said, I got to go. He looked at me like, okay. I know how to, it was like a transfer of energy. Like all the anxiety and pressure you gave me, I just pushed it on to Jay. And I could tell Jay was like, ah, oh, crap.
But when I came in, I just got off my warm up.
Yo.
And I just knew that I didn't have energy to complete my warm up. So I was like, ah, oh, fuck. All the pressure's on me
now. Yeah.
I don't know if I can do this. I guess we'll.
Because I know if I told you, like, yeah, man, I lost, you'd have been like,
I would have been like, damn, but I would have been way less pressure on me for 100% for sure.
I'm glad you said that. I don't think you guys should lose, but there's other tournaments because, like I said, I've been doing those Masters 3s. I always go last.
Yeah.
So it's like, I forgot what tournament it was. It's been a few tournaments. So I was like, all right, I got to get double gold. I forgot. I think it was the California one or one of them. And then I'm like, Casey got gold. I was like, shit, okay. This motherfucker right here. I was like, I got to get him. And then I got gold. I was like, okay, cool. Then we go new Nuggy. And he comes back with another gold. I'm like, fuck. And I'm saying, okay, this is going to be easy. And I get bronze, and I'm like, I know, Jimmy, it's just that let, I just like, I failed.
Yeah,
I know, it's just, damn it.
Honestly, I think that's why I was taking it so hard. Because I was just like, I was right there. 2 points, one final mistake, and then I end up in the one position I did not want to be in. I don't even care. Like, he could have my back. I could have been mounted. I just did not want to be in bottom side control.
That's what I feel you're good at, because I'm like, I'm trying to hold you there. I'm like, fuck, Jason just got out.
When I don't have energy, it doesn't matter. And that's like, that was like, it's like, a lot of times when I'm rolling, I'm always like, I don't want to say playing possum, but playing possum is the best way. I'm always like conserving my energy and making people think that I'm more tired than what I am. I'm always like probing, if that makes sense. Mm. When I know I don't have energy, I'm not moving. I'm not getting paid for this. My body won't like just the, you know, your brain and your body just are misaligned.
Yeah.
My brain and my body were misaligned when I have energy. It's just like nothing else matters. Like all I want to do is sleep and eat, you know, type vibes. So,
man,
you gave your all. Like, yeah. As long as you did that, and you know, like you gave all your energy, gave what everything you had just to try to go for that. So,
and you had the weight of the world on you, dude. Like everything coming into it, plus, like again, I saw your face. when I said I won, you were like, okay. I was like, I instantly felt bad.
Casey's
I was like,
the blame. So we know.
No. But it was just like a transfer of energy. No, it's just a transfer.
Look at how you're smiling. Like, yes, I transferred that energy perfectly.
No, because I didn't want to do that.
Like, yes, I did it.
My discipline is the blame. If I have to put anything on it, right? The weight cut that I did in the last week and a half was ridiculous. And I say it almost every episode on this podcast. I got to get like, stay disciplined with my diet, get under control. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is like, if I don't have a concrete goal for me set ahead, it's easier. Like, it don't matter. I can lose weight. I can get back to where I need to get to when I need to. Right. This time was a little different dealing with going back and forth up north and moving into a new place. Like it is what it is.
I was going to say your outside stuff that you had going on, you did very well in this competition. So, yeah. Like, with all that going on, you couldn't have asked for more.
I could have. I feel like yeah. I could have.
Unless you were willing to sacrifice some of that more of that outside stuff to dedicate to it. But it's like priorities come first.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. In my eyes, you won before you even got there.
But you know, Coach Al said something to me one time, and he was just like, the jiu-jitsu journey doesn't wait. Like, it doesn't matter. And to me, I don't know necessarily what he meant, because I never really asked too much in depth. But to me, that was like, it doesn't matter what you got going on outside of the gym. It doesn't matter what you got going on emotionally, whatever the case is. Like, when you are on this journey, you either perform or you don't.
But what if what you're doing on the outside is part of your journey?
Exactly.
That might be an impact on a part of your journey, because sometimes the stuff that you do on the outside, it gives you either the motivation to continue or to do certain things in here. So your outside stuff is part of your journey.
Yeah, but we ain't getting paid for this.
We ain't. We're not, but...
Oh, I do want to mention this because I know we're running short on time.
Wait, this ain't the special one?
We ain't do
this
ain't the special.
Oh, because we ain't say why it's a special one. Yeah.
Oh,
does
it have to be that one?
I got you. I feel you. I'm talking in front of you know.
Okay, as good as okay. We ain't that one.
I want to say two things. And I don't care where we go after that. But one, you sent me the video of mine, right? I heard what you said. Thank you. You said Danger Ross, and I was like, oh, look, Jason. But also, some dude pissed me off, and I'm like, please, I wish I would have heard him. Oh, my God, I wish I would have heard him. Like, I put the guy in Kimura, we rolled over. Like, I was going to take his back. I missed his back, and he put me in side control, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, the guy's like, cook him, bro. There you go, Jonathan. Cook him. And I was like, I swear to God, I was like, if I'd have heard that, I would have.
You talk about the match I recorded?
Yes. I was like, dude, I would have broke this freaking dude's arm. So you heard him saying that, huh?
I did. I think at one point, I forgot. I think I said, I think like when you had that first Kimura lock, I was like, yeah, you don't want to be there. I know for sure. I think I said that to somebody like next to me or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, that dude was talking mess.
Where was he cooking you at?
Because he just had me in side control. Not going to lie. Again, I went into that one, 208, going to get some 222ers. I felt every bit of that. Right? So I was like, ugh! And so he probably heard me go that. He's like, cook him, bro! Cook him! I'm like, dude, I'm going to cook you in a minute. Wait till I'm done. I just thought that was fun. I'm glad I didn't hear it, because I probably would have broke both his arms. Two is, I hate to talk about it, but it's almost the elephant in the room, if we could say. DJ Smash, because that one, and I'm not saying it in a mean way. That match hurt me to watch.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I thought it was going to be fun to watch, because I'm like, oh.
Let's not give the outcome.
Okay.
But we can talk about, like, how we felt about it. The only reason why is because I want DJ to
you
be
want
here.
DJ? Oh, yeah.
I want DJ to be. But no, we talk about it. I felt the same way.
I played this. I thought going into it, I was gonna be like, "Oh man, it's gonna be fun. Like this is gonna be it." And when it started happening, like even before they came on the mats, I was like, "Oh man, I don't like this." You know what I mean? Like I don't like, because I'm like, I don't want to like I can't root for any one of them. You know what I mean?
You know, I told Sam and DJ both this. I was like, you know. I don't want to, I'm torn, right? I don't want to root for either one. But if I do say go DJ, at least Sam won't hear me.
Yeah.
And all respect to Sam. And Sam is going to be on here soon, actually. Sam, I love Sam to death, and he knows this. He's hearing impaired. So Sam has an uphill battle when he fights anybody because he can't even hear the coach. He has to get them into a position to where he can visually see the coach and then see the signs in order for him to even like execute what the coach is saying. So he's already fighting an uphill battle. So he's someone that I truly want on this show to tell his story and his journey as a competitor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also had another friend, AJ, in that bracket, I was like, this sucks because neither one of it can't be first, second, and third. Like someone's got to lose. You know, and it just hurt.
That would have been nice, especially to see
since
all
it was the first
of them,
match.
First, second, and third. That would have been.
But the way that it was set up,
the way it was set
they
up,
were going to have to fight each other. Period.
Yeah, it was kind of set. Like I feel like
no, but they all could have still if the way it could all still went first, second, and third. In either way, depending on how whoever
won. No. No. It could have. No.
Because if you're taking out your first match.
Oh, you're right.
You have to fight for
you're right. Place. Because AJ, Sam, and DJ were on opposite sides of the bracket.
Correct. Yeah.
So it all could have went.
It all could have worked. Yeah. That would have been dope to see. It's funny, DJ was like, Casey 2.0 there, talking about AJ. He called him Casey 2.0.
What did AJ do?
I don't know, but that's what he
said. AJ's my boy, man. I love AJ. He's a cool dude. He's a humble dude, but he's an animal.
He seemed like a good energy.
And my God, DJ looked terrifying. When I saw him on the mat, there was no joking at all. I said, hey, you look locked in. I love you, bro. Do you say? You know what I mean? Yeah. He was a tank.
Yeah.
He looked scary.
And you know who I say out of everyone though, Sam got the short end of the stick because Autumn.
Oh my God. It was the first time I was like, Sam needs to cut weight now.
First time seeing him as the smallest guy.
Yeah. Dude, so you had to go against dudes like that?
Well, my first, yeah, when I was
at white belt,
I was the smallest dude, and I was like,
I'd do it at white belt. I don't think I'd do it at blue belt.
But that's when I hit.
So you will go against them
at white belt, yeah. Like at white belt, I was doing absolutes. Like I felt like at white belt, I had to prove something to myself. It's like I don't care how big you are, I don't care how much muscle you have, I got to be able to beat you. And so at white belt, that was my mentality. So I would do absolutes. I would take on bigger dudes. At blue belt and thinking about my body and health, I'm like, stay in my weight class. I don't need to have to use more muscle to do a like you do like a simple knee lever sweep, right? You go to do that on someone your own size and height, no problem. You go to do that on DJ, you done blown out a knee, a back, a hip, like nah,
dude. And after I seen Sam is bigger than all of us, right? Yeah, so if he gets on top of us, to see someone so fat ooze over Sam, like make Sam look small. Sam was the smallest guy in the bracket. I'm like, I'll never do that bracket. I don't care. Like at that point, you know, that's when you get weapons.
That's why I got out of it as a white belt. I was like, yeah, I'm not.
It ain't worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Mm-mm.
Nah.
I'm glad I lost weight.
What do I say? My safety is my responsibility.
Yep.
Yep.
That's one of those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I didn't know JJ Worley put blue belts and purple belts together in Nogi, which.
You didn't know that?
No. Which is another thing that Sam had to fight an uphill battle was, like, Sam just got promoted to blue belt.
Yeah.
And he's going against purple belts and up. Like,
but that's the best thing that could have happened to him.
100%. Like, yeah. I think it's going to elevate his game a lot.
Absolutely.
Sam's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
He's going to go to that 222 and under. Drop. But he's saying him and his wife, he's trying to blame her for the food and eating.
I saw that, Billy. He can lose. He can lose.
You got to blame your discipline. Mm-hmm. I can say that. I can, because I eat like a fat kid.
I think we all do, because, you know.
Let's talk about the morning after.
What about the
morning after? The week after. Went so ham, I'm pretty sure I'm like 230 right now.
Bro, I think not even gonna lie, I think I'm 230 now. I haven't stepped on a scale.
And I refuse to.
I kind of refuse to. I need like a week and a half in the gym before I step on a scale.
Shut up, T. Shut up.
She's like, I'm at 205 and I'll be eating good because I'm 40 and sexy.
Man.
That's what
it's just been working out lately, you know. I told y'all what to do. Y'all don't want to listen to me.
Here's the thing. No.
What did they teach
you guys? It's going to catch up with you.
What did they teach you guys in the Black Home? Respect your elders, right? Come on. Man. Respect me by listening to me, okay?
Are you really the oldest out of all of us?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
By a few months.
Okay.
I don't care. Still older, right?
Whatever.
It doesn't matter. Right? So.
Oh, God.
Y'all going to listen to me?
He's been on this earth a couple more months longer and think he knows better.
Talk to me when you start traveling the world, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes it's good to be safe in your own that boat.
Yeah, see, there it is.
You
are
right about that. No, I'm just kidding you like that. Yeah, I guess we could wrap up here.
You sure?
We deep in the game.
I am happy we got to do this tournament together.
Yeah.
I felt like this tournament felt a little bit different. Like the last tournament that we did, like we all did, right?
Yeah.
But that was under another flag.
Yeah.
This time we were all under the same flag.
It seemed like we were much more lively, and I can't figure out the other word, but it seemed like we wanted it more.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way we went in representing Forge is like, the energy was like so like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted gold so bad too. It's like I wanted it under this banner. Like I wanted it to be for the school. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was going to say something else, but no. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. This one felt different. This one felt really different. And I was so happy that we all got to do it together.
Yeah.
Like, man, we all won. We won. You know what I mean? Like, I think if we go anywhere, people know who we are, period. They know who Forge is, and they definitely know us by our names. If they see us,
they don't know me.
They know you. Because even Mark said it. Mark got second in internationals, by the way. Sorry, Mark.
I called Mark.
Freaking getting gold medals left and right. He finally got time. You need a silver to get you better, man.
Don't listen
get
to you him, better, Mark.
You know?
He's just I mess jealous. With
you
more.
I love you, Mark. I'm sad that you got it, but I know you're gonna become an animal now. I forgot where I was going with that. I'm just happy that we all got to do that one. You know, I don't want to. There's other significance to it, but that one meant a lot to me.
Yeah,
it really, really did, man. You know, so
I wish you were gonna be in town. I would say let's take a road trip to Arizona and let's just do one in June. But
hold on, and I told you,
wait, there's one closer.
There's not.
Yeah, I would have 100% did it.
Yeah.
I would have 100% did it. If I wasn't leaving, I would have did it.
I'm
talking about JJ Worley. Oh. There's only one that's close enough before August. I think the next one is Pants in August 2nd, and then there's one June 21st in Dallas in Arizona. I know because I've actually, like, I've low-key been like, I need my get back because I just
felt like
my performance. No, I just felt like my performance wasn't what it should have been. And I felt like I want to go into a tournament like not having to do a huge weight cut.
Can I say something to that?
Yeah.
I had the same experience with Naga, right? Mm-hmm. I had a decent performance, but I didn't get the outcome that I wanted.
Yeah.
And I went to the next one, just the next one, mm-hmm. entered it, didn't tell anybody, went there and won.
Yeah.
And it was something about like, it's like, I'm doing this. Like you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a big lone wolf person, but I can be.
Yeah.
And something about just being like I'm in here by myself. I'm in the belly of the beast. I'm going to do this on my own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gives you like the extra drive. I'm not mad at you if you like sneak up there and be like, hey, babe, I'm going to Forge this weekend. And then go out there and just like do the tournament. You know what I mean? So.
I mean, low-key, it's a possibility. I can't, like, there's a lot of transitional things. I'm lucky that I've been able to even split my time between San Francisco and LA. Mm-hmm. Because my lady said when I spent a month in Italy by myself in February, that when I came back in March, I needed to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
We're at May now. So I've already kind of like extended the length of what I can, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then if you think about it, it's really been November is when I first officially was like, hey, I'm leaving. And like, we started moving up there. We got our Airbnb and everything. So it's like 6-7 months now. Like, yeah. I haven't been with her. And I've been doing this, you know, traveling thing. So I think she's at that limit where I kind of have to be there. So
priorities come first.
Yeah. No,
priorities come first.
And my lady it's God, my lady, jujitsu. Those, that, in that order. In that exact order. So
I ain't mad at that. What you gonna say?
You gonna say
something disrespectful?
It's something from the movie. What was it? The Best Man Holidays, where he said family, and football. Something.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
I was like, I got you.
Yeah, no. So T, you have World's Masters coming up.
Shit. Oh, man.
Do you think about that at all?
I think about it all the time right now. Like, Masters Worlds, like this is the third one.
Do you feel any weight having to win again? because you won worlds, Nogi worlds, and now, you know, like you hold that, and people call you champ when you come here. Do you feel like you have to continue that, and is that a lot of pressure on you?
I feel it's a little bit of pressure, because then it's also I'm thinking like, I do not want to not come home without a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but now I just thought about it earlier this morning when I woke up. Like, no matter what or how I look at it, I am still a world champion. You can't take that away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even if I don't get it, I'm still a world champion. Just not this year, but I still am one. So, and then, like I said, it's still pressure just because, you know, the way I think my mentality is like, getting into jiu-jitsu and being here is like my main goal is getting this gym known.
Yeah.
And that's where I want, like, winning this will put the name of Forge out there more. People seeing my game and then they'll start looking at my teammates and then it's like, who's your coach? So now it's getting my coaches known. So that's like always been my thing. Get Forge known, get my coaches known, you know. And that's just going to be like a continuous. I'm always put that pressure on myself just because.
Can I ask you a question? Which one hurts? It's a hard. Does it hurt more to lose or feel better to win? Like, I'm trying, I don't know how to ask that question. I mean, like which one like affects you more?
Do you think you learned more?
No. Which one affects you more? Mm-hmm. Like, did a loss hurt more or did the win, was the win that much higher?
Well, the winning the no-gi worlds one, that felt higher than any loss. Just that one.
Okay.
You know, that felt like, oh, man. Like, I forgot about every loss at anything at, from winning that, like
because I think and I may be wrong, there was a piece of you, there's a part of you that wanted to quit after the worlds in August.
Yeah, so I think I said it was just because it was like me more so I was like trying to find somewhere to put the blame. Like in my head, I was blaming coach, like, or blaming the coaches, like, what is it that you're not teaching me or showing me so I can win this? Like, what is it that you're doing? Like, I'm here, so there's something you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to put the point of blame to them in my head. And I was like, it can't be them. Like, it's not them. They're providing me the tools already. So it's like, and it was just like, just trying to figure out like where it is. And it's like, sometimes that you gotta understand. Sometimes that person is just better than you, and I've always had that mentality. Like, there's always someone better than you, and I just at that moment in time, I just didn't feel it.
Yeah,
like there's no, you know, But I think once you learn that or fully get that understanding in your head, no matter what you do, there's always someone better than you and something that you're doing or you're achieving. Just know that. So to help relieve some of the pressure to yourself, just say that or understand. It's not like that's a bad thing, but it's just an understanding. Like, it's reality.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up here. But I do want to ask you guys both a question because you mentioned wanting to quit a little bit. I know for myself, even after this, I got second place and I wanted to quit. Like, so it's like, I'm not good enough. Like, why? I shouldn't even be doing this. Like, I failed. I was supposed to do this goal. Like, I wasn't trying to put the blame anywhere because I was like, the blame's on me. Like, so I wasn't trying to put it on my coaches. But how do you deal with those moments when you want to quit jiu-jitsu? And this question is for both of you. Or if you never had any, say you don't have any. I'm just curious on how you guys deal with it because I know how I deal with it.
I kind of, the times that I said that I was going to quit, I kind of put myself in my own little box and just sit there and think and just think and think. And then then somehow, you know, one of my coaches or one of my teammates finds those right words to say, and then it just changes everything and my whole outlook. And then it's like, okay, then I get back into that. Okay, let's do this.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think I ever really had like a moment like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was probably, if I ever had a moment like that, it was in after class or something like that. And I couldn't, I'm hitting a plateau or whatever. But I always said, my wins and losses don't define me. I don't allow my wins to take me too high. And I don't allow my losses to take me too low. I try to stay as even as possible.
Yeah.
Which the tournaments won't have an effect on me. You know what I mean? Or that much of an impact on me, whether I get the result that I want or not. It's just like when I hit in a plateau, but most of the time I know it's a moment that I'm having, and I know I'm like, all right, this is going to pass. Let me take a couple of days off. I'll go back, because at the end of the day, this is more than anything else. This is like my therapy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, this is my community, and my community is keeping me alive. It's keeping my head straight. You know what I mean? This is really giving me a lot, you know, so I can never really walk away from this like that.
Yeah, no, I like how you say this is your community, just because, it's definitely mine. I don't hang out with people outside. You know what I mean? I don't hang out with anyone outside. I'm at gym or home with my lady. I don't hang out with anybody. So this is definitely my community. I like how you say that. For me, I know, I go through these phases where this is what I tell Coach Rico. It's essentially I throw a tantrum. I just throw a tantrum and I'm just I don't want to do this anymore. And it's more of me, I kind of have to lick my wounds. And so I just have to force myself back. And honestly, shout out to you. Thank you so much. The other day, I think we rolled. It was the day I got back, we rolled at noon class. And I was just I came to morning class. It's oh, whatever. I'm here. I'm just here. And then we rolled, and I was I just had so much fun rolling with you. And I was that's, dude, why would you ever quit, you dumbass? Have fun. You want to have fun. This is about having fun. Go out there and have fun. That's what you should have did on that match, or you should have did at your tournament. But you couldn't even, give yourself energy to have fun because you were so exhausted beforehand. So you need to be better in your preparation and more discipline in the beginning. My point in saying all this is just saying, I think we all have those moments where we want to give up and want to quit. And I think it's important to not give up, to still stay on the mats, to find that fun in it, because it is that community. It is fun. It's a game, and it brings us all together.
Yeah, it's just rolling with that right person, it helps. You know, it even though you don't realize it until after that, oh, this person helped me, or even that. Having the talks after even helps. So it gets you back into your mind, and now you're feeling good. And like you said, have fun. And then, like you said, therapy. I think all of us go through it to where it's coming in here, you forget about the outside world. You just know when you get in here, it's you, or right when you start rolling, it's just you, that person, and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And that's all on your mind.
Yeah.
So that's,
well said. I guess, we can wrap up there. Anything you want to shout out before we get out of here?
Shout out to my family across the pond. And, shout out to Jonathan, man. I think I had a rocky beginning with him because I couldn't read him. Uh-huh. But he showed me so much love on here. When him and Evan were on here, he showed me so much love, and I really appreciate that, bro. That goes a long way with me. So shout out to Jonathan, man.
Jonathan's a cool dude.
He's a cool dude. Yeah. He's a cool dude, man.
T, anything to shout out?
Hold on. What are you looking at me like that for?
None.
What?
No, I was going to try to find a joke somewhere, but I couldn't. It just didn't come. Okay. Yeah. I was like,
no, man.
I couldn't. So I was trying to.
Dude, y'all told me up. Y'all told me up yesterday.
I was going to try to say something to Jonathan.
Oh, yeah. The whole. Yeah. Y'all were relentless on. Hey, all right, enough. Do your shout outs right now.
I ain't saying nothing here. That's private. That's family talk, right?
And Coach, he was relentless. He wouldn't stop.
Yeah, Coach loves that joke. I don't know why.
Duke, come on.
Can you give me a hug?
No, man. Do your shout out, man. I hate Turtle.
And just shout outs to the Forge family. My brother's here. And that's pretty much it, man. Like,
I'm going to shout out our newly promoted white belts to blue belts. We got Gabby. She was a guest on the host, but she's a guest on the show recently. I made a mistake of thinking she was already a blue belt. That's how legit she is. You know what I mean? So shout out to her. Shout out to Anthony, little 16-year-old prodigy. You know, just got promoted to blue belt. I can't wait to see what they do in the next year, honestly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And my phone isn't even on silent. So that wraps us up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tapping in. Please do us a favor, like, comment, subscribe, share it with your friends and family. Tell us what's up, and we'll get at you next time. Y'all stay blessed.
You can add me on Instagram too, Renegade_Streets Finest. I'll tag these two in it too, so you can add them too.
Stay blessed, y'all.